Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Lord, as we come today, there's many different reasons we feel troubled. Some of them we may joke about, whether it's playing a piano and we're not comfortable with it, but Lord, that's still trouble that we feel, and that nervousness is real. There can be trouble that we feel from a loss that happened over 30 years ago. In the midst of thanksgiving for things going well, there can be trouble and struggle in the midst of family members who struggle with disabilities. Lord, there's so much that we face, but you say here in our scriptures that when we turn to you, you will watch over, you will take care of us, and then through that, you will enable us to exemplify who you are, your love, your care, your peace to others who need it so desperately. And Lord, it's so obvious after this past week that our world desperately needs to know that peace, that comfort, that love that comes from you. So I ask that you will enable us in whatever we face to turn to you so that we might grow in understanding and relating to your compassion, so that we may not only receive it and grow, but pass it on to those that are in need of it as well. In Jesus' name we pray. What have your emotions been this past week? I'm assuming most, if not all of us, have been in touch with media on TV or radio or social media and know the tragic situation of what's been happening in our country for the past week. There are lots of emotions that people face and deal with right now. Some of those emotions may be anger, fear, hopelessness. Those are the three I've probably seen the most of in the past week. So at a time like this, and obviously this wasn't something I was planning on preaching to begin with when I planned this message, but if we're to understand our God, our Lord, our Savior, He relates to us where we are. And to some degree, this is where all of us are today. It's not a place we're supposed to stay, but it's a place that we are. It's a place that our communities are living right now. It's a place that families are dealing with. So I asked the question to myself in preparation for today, what can we do? What should we do as the body of Christ when our country is facing everything that we've seen in the news for the past week? I have a few suggestions. First of all is, I believe we're to pray. And as we pray, we don't just pray and tell God how we feel, although that's a part of it, but I believe we're to pray and listen. Listen to what God says. Listen for God's response as to what God says to us, because I believe He will have something valuable to say that will provide insight for us in who we're supposed to be in any given moment. Secondly, I believe we are to acknowledge sin. Don't pretend it's okay just to live with it. Don't pretend it's just there and there's nothing you can do about it. Don't just allow it to be without thinking there's going to be consequence. But respond in a way to help the healing and not prolong the pain. I changed the title of my message today, and that's what it is. Are you going to be a part of the pain, or are you going to help the healing? So we're not supposed to just pretend that sin's okay and live with it, but we're to respond in a way that helps the healing instead of prolonging the pain. I want to give you an illustration of how I believe this can happen, or did happen. It's a true story. It was a young black lady that walked into a convenience store recently, this past week, going in to pick something up. As she walked to the counter, there were two white police officers and an older white lady as a cashier, and they were standing there talking about what had happened in the past week. They kind of look at her and grow silent. She walks down the aisle, and she walks looking for whatever she's going to get, and she can feel one of the police officers looking at her. She turns around, and he's standing at the end of the aisle just watching her as she walks back, and he takes a step towards her. And he says, "How are you doing?" And she says, "I'm fine." He said, "No, how are you really doing?" And she said, "I'm tired." And he said, "Me too." And they hugged each other. And her response on social media was that we shared a moment. She said, "I never met this guy before. Don't know if I ever will again. But we shared a moment that gave me hope." So, we're to acknowledge when things aren't as God intends them to be, but we're not just to acknowledge them, we're to do something about them. And that's why we have to pray to start with. We can't figure this out on our own. But God desires us to be a part of something different. So, the next thing I believe we should do after praying and acknowledging the sin is that we should suspend judgment. Don't overgeneralize. Don't assume that when you've heard someone else's opinion of what things are, what it's supposed to be like, that you immediately know what needs to happen and who needs to do it and how it needs to be done, because usually we don't know the whole story. And don't generalize. Not all people are the same. So when one thing happens that isn't right, you don't necessarily clump everybody into that category, because that causes more pain and more suffering. I believe it would be wise for us to control our media intake. We say that we are in control of ourselves, but when you sit in front of a TV or you continually listening to story after story, you continually looking on Facebook at comment after comment after comment and the arguments, and I tell you, there are things that I've seen on Facebook this week that made my heart break almost as much as the actual events that happened, because of what people are saying and the way they're responding and treating each other. People that don't even know each other and have never seen each other are being torn apart. It's not supposed to be this way. And so my final suggestion is that we hear and respond to God's message. That we hear and respond to God's message, which requires action. Do you want to be a part of healing the hurt? I think it's probably a unanimous yes with everyone in this room, just because of who I believe we are. I want to read the scripture for today, and later it's going to be posted, the whole thing, with some questions, so you're not going to have the scripture in the way I'm going to list it right now, guys, in the back, so you can just leave the screen where it is. But if you want to turn in your Bibles, we're going to be going through 1 Corinthians chapter 4. If you want to turn to that, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll be reading verses 1 through 6 and then skipping down to verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 and then verse 16. And I picked out this scripture before today's events. And honestly, as I began thinking about today's message and being convicted that we had to have a conversation about what our world is facing right now, it's not something you ignore. It hit me how real. And the last thing I said is we need to be able to hear and respond to God's message. The message that God placed on my heart was God knew what was going to happen ahead of time. And I believe the scripture that was already planned for today that I didn't plan, that God planned, is relevant to where we are today. So I invite you to listen to this scripture in light of where we are. This then is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. And at that time, each will receive their praise from God. Now, brothers and sisters, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, "Do not go beyond what is written." Then you will not be puffed up in being a follower of one of us over against the other. And then if you skip down to verse 16 in that same chapter, it says this: "Therefore, I urge you to imitate me." And this is said by Paul to the people at Corinth. I've been talking about the shootings, the violence, what's been going on this week. And that's important. And I believe we need to hear what God's message is in that context. But there's so much more that we need to recognize in that, because you know the pain and the anger and the fear and the hopelessness does not only exist in the events of this past week. They exist every day in the world around us and the lives of every person we meet. There's a term I've heard recently called pain in the pew. My guess is, if you look to your right and to your left, for those in the back, maybe those in front, or ones back here in the back, there's someone beside of you who is more than likely in pain right now, or experiencing fear, or has a sense of hopelessness. This scripture is relevant to this week, but this scripture is also relevant to every day. And what I want us to understand is that if we begin to live as Christ wants us to on a daily basis, we understand more clearly who Christ wants us to be when we face what we're facing this week. Does that make sense? If we seek who God wants us to be on a daily basis, and right now I'm talking about in context of the people around us that are in pain and who God wants us to be in that, and recognizing our own pain and our own hurt. Remember the scripture that we started off with? The scripture that said God's there to help us, and then through that pain, through that suffering, we're able to help others. So if we're there, we're more prepared to deal with the sin, the consequences of sin in the world that we live in when people are hurting so badly. And yes, I'm talking about this week, but not only this week. So what does that look like? I believe that's a part of being a servant of Christ. That's what we've been talking about for a month and a half now being a servant of Christ, and I believe this is very much what it means to be a servant of Christ. So I ask you the question, are you a servant of Christ? And then I believe the answer to that is found in the first verse of today's scripture. This then is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ, as those entrusted with mysteries God has revealed. We need to be able to be seen by others as servants of Christ. We need to help the hurt, recognizing that there's pain in Dallas. There's pain in every state in the United States. There's pain in Nelson. There's pain in the pew. And as servants, we need to recognize that. We need to pay attention to those who are around us. And we go to the places God leads us. There was a song again, and I just love what God does through worship. One of the songs we sing was, "Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord." And Linda even said it. Linda's my co-preacher and doesn't even know it. I don't know if she's more nervous about preaching or about playing the piano, but she did both today. Because in order for this to happen, in order for us to be the servants God wants us to be, we have to recognize what's going on in other people's lives, but we don't figure that out on our own. It's that we ask God to open the eyes of our heart so that our heart has eyes, not literal eyes, but we're able to see and feel around us what others are going through. And there's more pain than we can ever deal with, but God will direct us where God wants us to be. And then He'll be able to use us in making a difference that He desires. And the world, the people that God loves, at least in the place He places us, will become a more beautiful place. We need to take time to know these people that God leads us to. We need to take time to get to know them and their situation. But I want us to realize this, and this is for everybody, but especially for the men, because men have problems with this more than the women do. It's not our job to fix it. There's maybe a challenge, there may be a struggle, there may be heartache, there may be pain, but that doesn't mean that we simply need to go in and fix it, because fixing it may not be what they need. They may need the opportunity to be able to cope with that, to work through that, just to have somebody knows that they care in the midst of the struggle, because guess what? There's going to be another struggle after that one. So we need to take time to know them and their situation. We need to be available. We need to be real. And we need to point people to Christ. To be a servant of God, we need to be available. We need to be real. We don't need to put on our fake Christian churchy face. And we need to point people to Christ. And we do that by being honest, by allowing people to see God in us. Second question that's going to come up, how do we show we are servants of Christ? Scripture says, "Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful." So we prove that we are servants of Christ. We show that we are servants of Christ by being faithful. We live a life that demonstrates our faith in Jesus Christ. And there's so many different ways of doing that. And being familiar with the Scripture will help that significantly. But it means living a faithful life. It means trusting God yourself. It means when you're hurting, when you're suffering, not pretending that you don't, but going to Christ in a way that others see your faithfulness to Him. Third question. What do other people think of you? How much does this direct? Before I get to reading, I want to ask this question. What do people think of you? And then what people think of you, how much does this really direct your life? I want to talk about social media for a minute. You know, social media, unfortunately, I think influences this and causes this to be an even greater issue than it has in the past. Everybody wants to impress someone else, and social media, in many ways, enables you to try to create yourself into being the person you want to be instead of the person that you are. And you base that on what you think everybody else thinks is right and pretty and successful. So we need to be careful. The question is, what do other people think of you? Scripture says, Paul is saying, I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Should it matter what people think of you? According to Paul, it shouldn't. But it's difficult. I'm not going to say it doesn't matter to me what people think. It does. But I have gotten to the point in my understanding of Christ that when I go there, when I'm starting to feel that way, and I need to acknowledge not only when I'm not feeling great about myself because of what people think, when I'm feeling good because of what people think, I've tried to remember, Greg, that's not really what's important. Greg, what's important is that you're living and being the person God's called you to be. And you know, and then I had to go into, well, the next thing is your conscience clear? And when we're being the person God calls us to be, it does enable us to live with a clearer conscience and not have as much internally to deal with, more internally to deal with than what God wants us to have. But there's something along with that. It says, I'm not even my own judge. And sometimes we're harder on ourselves than anybody else is. We expect things from ourselves that God doesn't even expect. Do you hear that? Have you ever done that to yourself? Have you expected things to happen? Have you ever been a person that just wanted to make everybody happy? And if you didn't, you felt like there was something wrong with you? Jesus Christ couldn't make everybody happy. Why do we expect ourselves to be able to do something that Jesus Christ himself couldn't do? God doesn't ask us to do that. God asks us to seek him and to seek to try to be the person God calls us to be on a daily basis. And then the last part of that is, it is the Lord who judges me. You know, I love this because, and I'm not going to preach a whole nother sermon, but it's scripture after scripture after scripture testifies to this. But do you know what kind of judge the Lord is? You know what kind of judge he is? He's a judge of truth and grace. He doesn't pretend that something's okay when it's not. And we become convicted of that and we understand that and we see truth for what truth is. We see the fact we fall short in reality where we fall short. And in the midst of that truth, there's also grace. And God lifts us up and says, I'm with you. You don't have to do this on your own. This is something that you take and you move on and you become the person that I have created you to be. And through that grace, you don't see yourself through your own eyes, but you see yourself through the eyes of the person God created you to be. And I think that is the background for the last point I want to make. That point in verse 16, I'm going to read a little bit more context of it so it makes a little more sense. And I'm going to begin with verse 15. It says, even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for it is in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. This is Paul saying this to the Corinthians. Do you have a life worth imitating? Paul didn't say he was perfect, but Paul was saying, I shared with you the gospel. You're to understand who God is and how God loves you and who God wants you to be. And because I'm the one that taught you that, I'm the place that you began to understand that, you should be able to imitate me, that I should be able to take you in that direction. And you know what? We need to be able to do the same thing for other people. That's a scary thing. It doesn't mean that someone who's looking at me needs to try to be just like Greg. God doesn't want that. God wants you to be the person he created you to be. But by imitating someone who is a believer in Christ and seeking God, what you're imitating is seeking to have that relationship with God. And as you imitate that, then you understand that God, being a judge of truth and grace, reveals that to you. the truth that's in your life, the mess that's in your life. He reveals that. He enables you then to be able to understand how to deal with it. But there's grace. There's forgiveness. When you've messed up, it's okay. But He doesn't want you to live there. He helps you to go further to the next place. And that's what people are to imitate, so that we become a part of healing the hurt instead of prolonging the pain. And we'll ask the praise team to come up. But I wonder today, where are you? Where are your hurts? Where is your fear? Where is your hopelessness? And are you willing to take that to God? You know what? There's somebody near you that's feeling that too. And taking that to God may look like not only literally taking it to God, because I think that's important, but it also may mean caring enough to share with each other. It's amazing, and I believe this is one of the reasons, one of the things God created us in this way. When we're hurting, when we're in pain, you know, one of the things that can lighten that load the most is helping someone else that's having trouble. It helps give perspective to your own challenges. It helps give you purpose in life. It keeps Satan from being able to say, your life is hogwash and it doesn't matter and it's going down the tubes and you have no purpose and you just need to give up. God says, no, I'm with you and I'm going to help you, but in the midst of me helping you, I want you to help somebody else and show my love to them. That's the way God created us. We're made to be servants. We're set free to serve. We don't live in the bondage. We're literally set free to go and serve God through serving others. Take your hurt to God today and be willing to serve God by serving others. And you may have, God may place a name, a face in your mind right now of who that person is, and you may need to be praying for them right now before you ever leave that door. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, so that I can see what you want me to see. Feel free to respond. I'll be standing at the front. I'd love to pray with you. The altar's open. Stand together as we sing.
This is a short chorus. I don't know if you know it or not, but we're going to sing it 3 times. So hopefully by the 3rd time through, you will be able to sing along wholeheartedly.
I will say